Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, as we turn to your holy word, we're so grateful that it's food for our spirit, that it's a lamp to our feet, and that we have somebody, the Holy Spirit, who leads us and guides us and teaches us and shows us things to come, who guides us into all the truth. Father, I know as a pastor that all the things in my life are not from human origin, that I need help from God. I pray you'd be with my mouth, and I pray you'd help me as a pastor and a shepherd to do a good job for these folks today in this service, that this message would end up being customized for those hearers who have come today, who are on the rugged road of life, who need a boost, need direction, who need to assess the advantages and the benefits that we have now because of what Jesus has done and of what the Holy Spirit has made available to us and who He is in our lives. Help us to be sensitive to you. I pray that we would be strengthened with might and power by His Spirit in our inner man, that Christ would be formed in our hearts by faith, we'd be rooted and grounded in love, and we'd comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, and that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God, equipped for every situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, the staff at our church has good medical insurance, and we've got a man that's our representative who comes in and explains the advantages, the list of benefits that go with the coverage. And it's really important to know that, because if you don't know and you're not familiar with your advantages, you won't take them. If we are ignorant or we ignore these things, we may have a provision and never access it. And so in John chapter 16, Jesus makes a really strong and important statement in verse 7. This is our text for a while. We're looking at the advantages that the Holy Spirit has brought to us. I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit is not just power that emanates from God, but He's actually a person that's worthy of our love and our acknowledgement. We're not to grieve Him. The Bible says to grieve not the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we're to flow in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. We understand from the past weeks that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So the Holy Spirit births us. It said in John 3:6 that you must be born from above. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We see the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon Jesus at the beginning of His earthly ministry. Jesus made the statement out of Isaiah 61 that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But I want to tell you that it's an advantage that Jesus has died for us, how the shed blood of Jesus, His atoning love, His sacrifice has paid the penalty for humanity's sins so that paradise was lost, but now we've regained access to God. A fallen, sinful people have now been given opportunity to access a holy God. Don't take that for granted, man. That's a big deal. We're not just running in a circle game with a world religion. We've accessed the very Son of God who alone died to save us from our sins, and who downloaded that mercy that we're enjoying 2,000 years later. He says, I tell you the truth, it is expedient or to your advantage that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. And here's what P.C. Nelson said, the theologian that 1936, he wrote a classic book called Bible Doctrines. And Dr. P.C. Nelson said, so important did Jesus regard the Holy Spirit's coming into the life of believers that he said this verse. He said, it is expedient or is to our advantage. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the comforter, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Many Christians, P.C. Nelson says, speak lightly of the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is an insult to the Spirit, to Jesus, who gave His life to procure for us the right to have the Spirit abiding in us, and to the Father. Now, here's what he says that I want you to understand. Without the Spirit's aid, we cannot live as we should or do as we ought. He says, without the Spirit's aid, we cannot live as we should or do as we ought. So let's turn that around. But with the Spirit's aid, with the advantage of the Spirit, we can live as we should and do as we ought. And he said in Acts chapter 1, and I just did a study this morning in my concordance, and I found that the phrase Holy Spirit in the New American Standard is 93 times present in the Bible. 3 times in the Old Testament, 40 times in the book of Acts, and then the remainder in the New Testament. So we understand that from this side of the cross, this advantage is absolutely amazing. What was indicated from Adam all the way through Enoch and Abraham and Noah and Moses and so forth, in this new situation we're in called the New Covenant, where Jesus came to eradicate the sin condition, to impart the free gift of righteousness, and to defeat the works of the devil, and to set an army of people on fire and equipped and ready, we are in an amazing advantage. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which comes from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. So God has brought us into the know. Things that were previously hidden and undisclosed have now been revealed. God has brought things to us. His Holy Spirit, the Bible says here in verse 13, will guide us into all the truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. What does that do for us? Everything. The Spirit of God is on the earth just as realistically as Jesus was born in Bethlehem and had a 33-year lifespan and a 3-year ministry and died at a specific moment. The Spirit of God is here right now. And in chapter 14, let's go here because Jesus makes this real a meaningful commitment in verse 16. He says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. And I love this verse, that he may be with you forever. When the day of Pentecost fully came, they were all gathered in the upper room, men and women, praying and seeking God according to the instruction of Jesus. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then in other verses, in Ephesus, they were saved. They had been baptized, but they had not even known there was a Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they prophesied. They spoke in tongues. They moved in the gifts of the Spirit. It was amazing. Signs and wonders followed. And these gifts have not ceased, nor will they cease until Jesus, the perfect, has come in the fullness of the second coming. Until then, we need these gifts operating throughout the church age. And 2,000 years later, I'm here to tell you that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The day of miracles has not passed because there was no day of miracles. There's a God of miracles, and he's not going to pass. And he's bringing these things forth, and he's called us not to ignore spiritual gifts, not to misunderstand them or have misgivings, or as P.C. Nelson said, not to think lightly or speak lightly of the things of the Holy Spirit. We need to embrace the weightiness of this advantage. And again, getting back to my first reference, the medical insurance that's in our staff is really, really thorough, and it's wonderful for our staff to know, and it's provided for their well-being. From the youngest to the oldest and everybody in between and their family, there's provision there, and it's in a world where there's a crisis with healthcare. But I decided as a Christian, just as on a side note, as an employer, that we ought to make sure we treat our people right. Well, God wants to make sure he treats his people right. We're earthly parents or we're earthly people and we know how to give good gifts to our children. Or how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And listen, I want you not to diminish this. I want you to get kind of familiar with this because indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus. But also, there's a fellowship of the Spirit. And there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there's an immersion into the body of Christ. And it's authored and it's brought together by this wonderful Holy Spirit of God. And if you do any kind of study, you're going to find that the Holy Spirit guides us into all the truth. So we're not left without a shepherd. He's going to guide us. And he's going to guide us away from error and into truth. He's going to equip us for every good work, good works of parenting, good works of career choice, good works of marriage, good works in Christian work, and even he'll bear witness. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God. Now listen, the Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus. In fact, go back to John chapter 16 and look at the next verses, and you're going to see something interesting about what the Holy Spirit's doing. Recently, a brother was listening to Ravi Zacharias on the radio. He's a real intellectual and he's an apologist. You know, he's making a rational reasoning to the world about why we believe and what we believe. And he's concerned about America losing sight of good and evil. And there was a little bit of a wake up at 9/11. But then he said in these recent days, and even referenced this murder of this pastor across the river, And then also, I guess, something that just happened in Germany, some other things that he just basically said, look, it's like a wake-up call for society that says everything's fine. I mean, I just came back from our outreach to the entertainment deal, and I mean, a lot of the best directors have blurred the lines of morality, the good and evil. In fact, Isaiah prophesied there'd be a time when people would call evil good and good evil. So it's pretty convoluted. And yet, here's what the Holy Spirit does. One of the benefits that he does is he's a helper that he, when he comes, he's going to do his job to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Very, very powerful. What this means is the Holy Spirit has a job to do, and this is part of his job description. And this is an advantage for us as believers because we're not the ones that convict of sin. The Holy Spirit is. In fact, I'll tell you, we're called to witness. We're called to witness about the written word of God, and we're even called to witness to others about our experience. I'm the result of somebody witnessing what the word of God said. They quoted John chapter 14 about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. God used that for the lights to go on. No one goes to the Father but through him. And then also God used the witness of somebody who shared about how their life had experientially changed from receiving Jesus. But that did not change me. The letter, black letters on a white page didn't initially change me, nor did his story change me. I heard his story and it went over my head. I listened to the scriptures. I've heard the Bible before. It went in one ear and out the other. And yet something resonated, and now I recognize it to be the presence of the Holy Spirit who bears witness of Jesus. I'm telling you, we've got something that's an advantage. Because as we pray, God takes it and he answers it. When we proclaim the gospel, listen, when I do those TV spots, it would just be just another car ad and then a roofing ad and then some news clip at 5. And then what's the difference? Unless there is this unseen advantage, the Holy Spirit of God who amplifies it, who bears witness through the foolishness of the preaching, who takes it and shines light and convicts the world of sin. Of righteousness is available. The good news is, hey, listen, we're all sinners. Jesus was condemned. He took sin, and he who knew no sin, he never sinned, but he was made sin on our behalf. This is the good news. The sacrifice, somebody took the hit for us. And if we identify with him by receiving him and by acknowledging him as Lord and humbling ourselves and turning from our sin, he'll come in and he'll eradicate our sin condition and he'll impart righteousness. Righteousness is available. Respond to the Savior and receive righteousness. People say, you need to get right. You're not right. Your mind's not right. Get right. Well, see, we could point fingers all day, and a lot of believers do and have really blown the witness that the Holy Spirit, if we understand this, we're proclaimers of good news. We preach good news. We don't point fingers and pick it and belittle people and, you know, why are you acting like the devil? I was acting like the devil because I was the son of the devil before I got saved. Of course I was. What else are you going to act like? Or believers, our message is not to go, you're acting ungodly. Well, that's not the message. The message is repentance. Now, some people argue, well, you're going to give good news before you give the bad news first. People need to be convicted of sin. True. The Holy Spirit's the one that does that job. Well, do we cover over it? No. Our message is complete. Man is sinful. Man is fallen. You just watch it on the 5 o'clock news. It just reinforces every day. And I'm convinced in this hour of pluralism and relativism, you know what relativism is? It's like everything's, your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, your God is your God, my God is my God, hey, your lifestyle is my, whatever lifestyle you want, that is disturbingly unsound because there is right and there is wrong, there is truth and there is error, and our culture has drifted away from absolutes, just like the Roman culture did, but the Holy Spirit is the advantage. He comes in and he will convict the heart, the hardest heart, the most blasé attitude, the most convoluted thinking. He will come in and convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. He said, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. One of the advantages we have is that Jesus is being disclosed to us, and that revelation is available to us. God's given us a heads up for the future. I want you to understand, we are a prophetic people. You go to a church where God gave me a warning before the flood broke into this valley. Now you say, well, but Pastor, the water was standing up on the edge of the levee for 2 weeks. Duh. Listen, I'll tell you, duh. There was a sense of complacency in this valley. Nobody officially said that the levee was going to break. And in fact, it never did get breached, or the water never went over it. What happened was somebody left a tree down there on the end of the levee and didn't cut it down. And so it had boring animals under it and sand boils, and the water eventually cut through the levee and it came in and destroyed the valley. God prompted me ahead of time to get up here early from, I was out of town, rally everybody. I got up, we got everything out of the building. Even our neighbors, we offered to take their stuff out of the building. And they said, nah, nah, there was such an attitude. They said, we'll put it up on the top shelf and it'll be fine. Well, the top shelf was not fine because the water went above the top shelf. And in one day, that family lost $1 million of personal income. People had strokes and heart attacks, marriages broke up, fortunes were lost in a moment. But the doors you're about to push out of when you go out to your breakfast or your lunch, we actually took off the hinges and put in a truck and hauled off. God had given us such a heads up. I want to tell you, this is one of the advantages on the list of layout of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, it's to your advantage that I go. Because he's going to show you things to come. He'll show you things about your kids. He'll show you things about people. He'll show you things about who to do business with. He'll show you things about your work way before anybody else even knows about it. I knew a guy who got a promotion, worked in aerospace, and he had a good job. He said, I want you to pray. He got some counsel with me. He prayed and he said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I've got this opportunity for a promotion. It'll be a pay increase. I will increase in my responsibility of overseeing staff. It'll move me into some exciting stuff. But I just, in my spirit, I'm not so sure. I said, well, that's a reliable thing. So check the facts, lay it all out, get counsel and so forth. But at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit will lead us into all the truth. He cares about even those issues of the quality of our life and those issues of decision. Okay, so he comes back to me and he says, I just don't think I'm supposed to take that job. I said, well, okay. He went back to his boss and he said, sir, I appreciate the offer. I just don't think I'm fitting in that. I just don't think I should do that. And the guy was stunned. He says, you're going to get this is like a no-brainer. It's like a dream come true. You're getting a pay increase. You're getting a title advancement. You're getting an expansion of responsibility. You're going to have more things to do. And he's like, thanks for the offer. Within a few months, that whole department got completely shut down. And anybody that was on that side of the line left. He stayed on this side of the line because of this wonderful advantage of the Holy Spirit. And his job was saved. What looked like a good thing isn't always a good thing. All that glitters is not gold. And the Bible says a spiritual man appraises all things, and yet he is appraised by no man. So what would you attribute that to? The presence of mind that comes from the mind of Christ, that comes from the Holy Spirit coming into the life of a believer to bring divine things to us. Because see, I asked a neuroscientist out at UCLA this week, how many pounds is my brain? About 3 pounds? He said about 3 pounds. So then I said, well, I think mine's about 8 pounds. And then I just, we laughed. He's like, ha. My little 3 pounds, I said, is it about 70% fat? He said about that. So look at somebody and say, hey, fathead. No, don't say that. Don't say that. To be carnally minded is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. I want to tell you something. We don't have enough. I mean, even if you're Mensa, 180 IQ, you've got multiple PhDs, and that's all wonderful. No matter how much you've developed your mind, the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. Some things are just too big for us. David said, I go to the rock that is higher than I. He said, some things are just too big for me. I mean, things about marriage, things about child rearing, things about my life that I realized long ago I was limited in what I was bringing to the table, but I looked at the advantage. It is to our advantage that He's gone because He sent His wonderful comforter, helper, standby. Jesus, the head of the church, has given us something so vital, someone so wonderful. The very Spirit of God is here. The Holy Spirit is here, you guys. I read in Newsweek that by 2050, 80% of Africa will be believers. Do you know that early on there was a presence of mind in England and Europe and America to send missionaries to what they call the darkest continent? And do you know that God has done such a rich thing there? And there are leaders rising up in Nigeria and other nations that are so anointed and have integrity and have such a heart. They're sending missionaries into the world, into Europe, where the missions first was sent. It's just a turnaround. You know, in China in the 70s, Patsy and I would be praying at a house up in North County with some friends. We heard about China being just really inhibited with the gospel. People were being persecuted. We got so after it for a few days in prayer about China that now, do you realize that per capita, China is now about ready to be the biggest percentage of believers of a nation? The word of God is not imprisoned. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Do you understand that before the battle of Armageddon and the second coming, Jesus is building his church and the strength of it is emanating from his word and by his spirit, that we are not left helpless or hopeless. We are equipped more than conquerors. It's not just based on the luck of the draw or just somebody being in the right place at the right time or somebody with bigger, superior brain power. We have the head of the church who has given us his wonderful Holy Spirit. After Jesus died and then ascended and rose up and seated in the heavenly places, the Holy Spirit was dispatched into the human race. Wow. You guys, this is worthy of some joy. Listen, our staff gets excited when they start to see how good their medical insurance is. They go, wow, this is good. Somebody's been considerate of my situation. And I am grateful. And smart staff members remind me of that every now and then. Because they'll go, man, this is not the norm in society. This is something of a good provision. This is not the norm in society. This is something of a fantastic provision. And I want Family Church to understand, and I want you guys that are here to get super aware. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter, look at 12, and we'll look at 14. Let's go there real quick, because this is essentially why I'm teaching this series on Sunday mornings. First, go to chapter 12, verse 1, and I want to show you something, the New American Standard, then I'll show you what it says in the literal Greek. Chapter 12, verse 1, 1 Corinthians, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, he's talking to believers, he's talking to the Corinthians, and he's saying something very important. This is Paul the Apostle. He says, I do not want you to be unaware. Look at the word unaware. Unaware, the opposite of unaware would be what? Aware. What is awareness? It's being in the know. The King James said, I would not have you be ignorant. What's the root word for ignorant? Ignore. What does ignore mean? I don't care. I don't care. And a lot of people have done this and said this to the Holy Spirit, where it's like, I don't care about that. I don't care. But God is actually wanting us to investigate. In fact, he's saying, concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit, I don't want you to be unaware. In fact, he says that he wants us to desire earnestly. Look what it says in chapter 12, verse 31. It says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. Earnestly desire the greater gifts. And then it says, but I'll show you a more excellent way. So we love to study the love walk, but the reason the love walk is in here is because faith works through love. God is love. The Holy Spirit is all about love, all about value, and he flows in that context. Strife and bitterness and all those things, they're inhibitors to the flow of the Spirit. So we live our life fighting against the things that inhibit the anointing and striving for yielding to those things that put us at the very highest advantage. One of them is this knowledge of knowing all the things that God's given us. And when we understand the person of the Holy Spirit is in our car when we're driving down the road, he's over our shoulder when we're reading the Bible, he's in our prayers, strengthening us and helping us in our weakness. He's with us, fueling us to move forward into amazing exploits. The people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. This is how we'll reach the nations. This is how we'll raise up a young generation. This is how we'll stabilize our families. How we'll believe God when moths are eating at finances and we're believing God for our finances to stay strong. Why? Because my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When we hear an alarming symptom, we don't get overwhelmed. We start laying hands on the sick. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Somebody in the world has to embrace biblical theology and trust for God's purposes to come to pass. And somebody has to be after it enough to go, wait a minute, what's the prize in here? What did Jesus really supply? What did Jesus really supply? I met the pastor of St. Albans Catholic Church, and he's now retired, but he was the liaison for the charismatic movement in the Catholic Church back in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And up in Notre Dame, he was present there when God poured out his spirit in a special way on those gathering in that particular denomination. Now, I just want to tell you that I'm the product of a movement where God stirred some things up for a little while. And there are movements that'll come for a year or two or three, and it'll draw in a harvest. Just like when a farmer goes out and puts in the sickle and reaps in a crop. In a moment, the corn is just right or the wheat is just right, and the farmer, the wise farmer, gathers in the crop. There are seasons. And we're to be instant in season and out of season. We've been at it for 20 years. We've had some big spike high, you know, seasons. And then we've had a lot of in-between times. And I've learned that God is there in both. He's in those real exciting, we used to be the flood church. And we were the citizens of the year and all that stuff. And then we were the football church. And we had other things like that. But then we're also just pressing on day in and day out. Learning, growing, doing life, raising kids, going to work, serving God. Sunrise, sunset, and that's just as authentic, just as wonderful, just as holy as those big exploits. We get addicted to excitement and we miss the supernatural. We get sensational and we miss the supernatural. Supernatural permeates every day for a believer. Come on. So don't dismiss or discredit just the downtimes or the in-between times. Enjoy every minute. It's good. Life is good. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love, but desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Oh, this is so good, you guys. The Holy Spirit has given gifts. The Holy Spirit is a person, and it's to our advantage that Jesus is gone, because once he left, he set up this whole thing where the blood of Jesus was so powerful. As P.C. Nelson said, he procured a gift so great that we were cleaned out so much that we would be found worthy or privileged with the opportunity to have the very Spirit of God live on the inside of us. We're walking carriers of the presence of God. It's amazing. It's neither spooky nor awkward nor weird. It's absolutely supernaturally normal. This is the way God intended it. Paradise restored. God has brought his Holy Spirit into our lives. But if we ignore these things, we'll miss the advantages. Some of our staff doesn't know that this medical insurance is set up where they should, not just for catastrophe, but to make sure they have maintenance. I want these guys tuned up. I want them to live to be 120 years old. I want them to live strong and healthy. So it's not just like put it off to the end and you're blowing a gasket and at the last minute, you know, wheel me in. It's like, let's just keep this thing maintained. See, the Holy Spirit is poured out to help us to understand, to get us a heads up. If we'll learn to listen to him, not only will we be at advantage, we will be an advantage to others. Hear me. You're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. God is with your mouth. God wants to permeate and use you and permeate through you and present things. He wants to use you to help people in turning points in their life. He wants you to be a go-to person for counsel, for wisdom. He wants to use you as a resource person. And when you understand this, that you're a carrier of the presence of God and the Holy Spirit lives in you, when the people are around you, they'll receive help from you. They'll receive strength from you. You'll operate in love and joy and peace, the fruit of the Spirit. And people will see it. God's hand is on your life. Jesus is in you. You radiate something of the love of God. And God's using you in your life. God's gifted you. See, I'm a product of somebody who was filled with the Holy Spirit and who prayed for me. And somebody else who was filled with the Holy Spirit was bold to proclaim the gospel to me. And bold to invite me to church, and I got saved. So I am promoting this and recruiting you into this awareness. Now, some of us get worn out by the difficulties of life, and our Christianity becomes maintenance and survival. And I understand that sometimes you just have to do that in a situation. But eventually and inevitably, we've got to realize that these blessings come upon us and overtake us. We're actually designed not to be reservoirs. John chapter 7 says, as believers, out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now, I've seen this manifest in the boardroom when the head of a company would say to so-and-so, hey, you're a Christian, would you please pray over the meal? I mean, they've had the liquid lunch and everything, and they're all, you know, loud and cussing and everything. But then they access this believer and say, would you pray? Because what you're bringing to the business is different than anything else. You're bringing a blessing. They'll pray. They'll get tears in their eyes. Listen, my marriage, this guy's got millions of bucks, but his marriage is on the rocks, goes to the believer. The believer gives him counsel and vital prayer and stands with him, and it brings cohesion and help. Listen, you guys are anointed. You're like spiritual paramedics. the world's like the Titanic and the whole hull's been ripped up. They pridefully thought it would never sink, but the unsinkable sinks. But with Jesus, we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. And when you understand the amazing downloading of the Holy Spirit, and it's not just for Billy Graham or for some other preacher or for some other Christian with major aptitude, but it's for the weakest vessel. Remember, the Corinthians, he rebuked them for being carnal and of the flesh. And then he said, don't you remember your temples of the Holy Spirit? So even you guys that feel like, I'm not all that. Good. It's good you don't think you're all that. Because when we're weak, then we're strong. When we go to God humbly and say, man, I'm not bringing that much to the table, but you sure do. And I've looked at your advantage list, and it's like, it's like 10 miles long of one advantage after the other. He's our guide. He pours out his Spirit on us for strength. He's anointed us for service. He's equipped us for signs and wonders. I mean, he sustains us to the end. We need to reinvestigate these things, not be afraid of these things, access these things. I sense the Holy Spirit saying, guys, listen, the world's getting fractured and it's more fractured. The fracture is becoming a crack. The world's kind of shaking right now, but you are on, your house is built upon the rock. You're on a solid footing. Even when the waves crash on your house, you still stand because you're built on a solid footing and you've got my Holy Spirit filling up your house. The rushing mighty wind of the upper room is still blowing. The fire that was distributed is still distributing. The power of the Holy Spirit is available to us. And bring forth this life-changing message of Jesus. We are getting richer and better and stronger. Why? Because the Bible says that when we're planted in the house of the Lord, we'll flourish like palm trees in the garden of our God. We're like trees planted by rivers of water. My kids have been going over the levee and catching crawdads and, you know, looking at beaver dams and stuff. And they said, I found a tree that's the biggest tree in Chesterfield. Dad, you couldn't even wrap your arms around it. It's a big old cottonwood. Why is it big? Because it's planted by the streams of water. Its roots are in always being hydrated by the waters in the rich soil of the Missouri floodplain. And so consequently, the conditions are right. And these trees are gigantic. Just on the other side of the levee. Listen, we are on the other side of the protective hand of God, planted in the rivers of God with the rich nutrients of the teacher, the Holy Spirit, of this wonderful Jesus that makes our branches stretch up to that sunshine. You know, branches reach for sunshine. If you look at when the spring comes, you'll see the branches aiming toward where the sun is. And that's exactly what we are. Our hands are healing for the nations. God's raised us up. The Holy Spirit has poured substantially into our lives. We're learning how to flow in the Spirit. We're learning how to walk in the Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. This is a supernatural church, man. God gives us creative ideas, and he does it to the whole body of Christ. He's done it in denominations. He's done it outside of denominations. He's doing it in Africa. He's doing it in China. It's awesome. Did I tell you I'm excited about what God's doing? This will help you to get underwhelmed with all the bad reports. So we're not burying our heads in the sand. Things are what they are. Wall Street is what it is. These, you know, the stimulus plans and all those things are what they are. The energy issues and the medical things and the polarized caps and all those things. The world, the Bible says, is groaning, longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. That day when mortality puts on immortality and there's a glorified deal. Jesus comes back, the word of God in his mouth, and smites this whole thing and everything changes. But in the meantime, we're in this particular season, but we are not left comfortless. We're not left helpless. We're not left hopeless. We have the helper. He comes in and he strengthens us with length of days and years of life. Hallelujah. When I do those TV spots, I know it's not my t-shirt and engaging smile or the lights. I know the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to come on that, or why bother? When we do Service International, I'm not a do-gooder. I don't like yard work. My dad tortured me with yard work. But yet I know that God's near the brokenhearted, and that's part of what God's mandated for us, to reach out in the media, to reach out tangibly in the moments of crisis. And in these upcoming days, he's going to show us how to strategize to alleviate other issues that are coming in present in our culture. This HIV thing has to be addressed. There are other things that have to be addressed. This entertainment world needs to continue to have believers that won't retreat but will stand up. There are so many other agendas being fostered. Why not the good, life-changing message of Jesus, whether it's covert or overt? It just needs to be gritty and implied. If not blatant, it needs to be gritty and implied, never corny or hokey. It needs to be anointed. The good news is there's an anointing. Listen, we're not left clueless. God's laid out all the clues. There really is an advantage. Don't underestimate what you've been given with the Holy Spirit. There's a person called the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit of God. I watched him infiltrate the denominational church, and God had moved in their midst. A man named Bennett wrote an amazing book identifying this wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've seen it in the Lutheran church, the Catholic church. I've seen it in the Baptist church. I've seen it in so many arenas. I watched God sweep the counterculture hippies. I was from a secular home, and you might have been a conservative background, but the Holy Spirit knows how to sweep people out of our apathy, out of our distraction, out of just religious tradition. He's serving us notice. He's saying, I'm giving you a prophetic awareness. You have the mind of Christ. I'm not going to leave you in the dark. I'm not going to lead you into error. I'm going to lead you into the truth. I'm going to empower you. You're not left powerless. I'm going to be with you through trouble. I'm going to show you things to come. That's good news. That's better than information about Blue Cross, Blue Shield. This is the shield of faith. And this is the cross of Jesus. And he's provided something phenomenal. And it's for everybody. So I wish I worked there. No, I'm glad he works in us. I'm glad we're with him. I'm glad his Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh. You might want to not ignore him anymore. You might want to start going, okay, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, do your thing. Make me receptive. Make me sensitive. You distribute these gifts. What am I to operate in? Where am I to go? What church am I to be plugged into? What vision am I to embrace? Where am I to give? How am I to serve? Because I know you'll be with me. Who am I to speak to? Who am I to pray for? I love God's Holy Spirit. I'm grateful to have the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm glad that within 3 minutes of being saved, they laid hands on me and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit before I even knew how to resist it. I'm glad my grandma was spirit-filled in the 50s and got healed by Jesus and prayed for me while I was a disenfranchised teenager. I'm glad the people God sent to me were spirit-filled and got me baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're to be a spirit-filled church. And I know what that looks like. I know what it doesn't look like. We don't need radical extremes. We don't need hyper-emotionalism. I've tried that. It ends up being a lot of whistle-blowing, but not a lot of energy for the train. We need to get down the track. I like the occasional whistle-blowing, too. Can I hear an amen? The helper has come. The comforter has come. You're not left comfortless. I like the word comfort. He comforts us in our afflictions. I just talked to a woman whose child died. She needed comfort. I just met a man who I did the funeral for his wife. He's come to church for the first time. God is moving in our midst. God is moving on our kids. God is answering prayer. See, I'm the product of a grandma who prayed. Sometimes it's hard to fill in the gaps of responsibility where others have dropped the ball. But it's important for you to realize that the Holy Spirit is here to strengthen you. He's here to just bring you into a new level. I would attribute any good thing I've done as a husband, not to my charming wonderfulness, because I'm just a pile of flesh. Apart from Jesus, I could do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, including being a decent dad and a decent husband. I know that I cannot pastor without the power of God or the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm operating in a gift. I'm operating in His wonderful blessing. His mercy is so good. It's new every morning. I'm so thankful. Who am I to give counsel? When I was 25 years old, Pastor Ron made me the primary counselor at the church. I had been through Bible school, and I did have a desire to help people. A couple came into my office. I said, hey, how's it going? I was all naive and engaging. What's up? And they were in a terrible strait. You know, I saw the guy after 25-something years, standing tall, doing good, having endured amazing struggle, and doing well. And recovered. I thought, 25 years old, I had no business talking into that situation. In my own resource and strength, I was out of my league. And yet, you know what? They stuck with me. I stuck with them. I stood on the word. The Holy Spirit came through. And you know what I would say right now, in my 50s and in this much experience in ministry? We don't have a bunch of fancy pants answers. We need the Holy Spirit. The good news is we have him. It's to your advantage that I go, because I'm sending the comforter. I'm sending the helper. He's the guy that helped with that job to go, oh, I shouldn't. I'll do this over here. Or the Lord said, get your stuff out of the building. People in the building over there were drinking Diet Coke, smoking cigarettes, and laughing at us. I felt like it was like Noah. The next day they weren't laughing because God had given us a prophetic heads up. And he also gave me the sense not to go, told you so, or should have. No, finger pointing doesn't win souls. Father, I thank you for this wonderful team of robust people. God, we are candidates for your grace and your mercy. There's not one of us that has earned salvation. It's not by our works of righteousness that we've done. It's according to your mercy. God, thank you for your love toward us. Thank you for the day you saved us. Thank you for the day the lights went on and you pulled us out of the pit. And Father, thank you for stirring in us a recognition of the things concerning and pertaining to the Holy Spirit. God, I pray we get really good at yielding to you. I pray we get really good at not grieving your Spirit. And I pray we get really good at articulating the list of advantages and benefits provided by this wonderful helper. I pray for these young people that they model Spirit-led living, that they're not overcome by evil, but they overcome evil with good, that they walk in the Spirit and they don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. God, I pray for these maturing Christians who've overcome some things, substance abuse or reckless life or hazardous life, and they just get strengthened every day, one step each day, stronger and stronger, line upon line. I pray for the believers who've been through seasons and they've gotten tempted to get apathetic or maybe even throw away their confidence or maybe even lose diminished vision. I pray they get the fire poured back into their souls. I pray, God, people that are just keeping on, it would be by the strength that God supplies. You're the one that causes us to persevere. I pray you just make good marriages better, make better marriages best. Help solid believers to get even more solidified. Help us, God, people in the journey, people that are just dabbling with us, trying to figure out whether they should jump in. I pray this would be an environment like a net that catches so many souls. I pray this would be a good, safe, solid, healthy, holy place for people to grow up in God. Father, may we be the kind of church you want us to be, that Jesus would be pleased with us and that you'd be honored. We love you. We praise you. Our focus is on you. We thank you for the help of your Holy Spirit. We'll pray in the Spirit. We'll be filled with the Spirit. We'll walk in the Spirit. And we thank you for your benefit in the name of Jesus.